This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Me as I'm showing you.
Good evening.
Liebling, there is an old and important proverb which says that one must never go to one's bed leaving any kind of dispute unresolved, and I think that there are words of wisdom in that. I really do.
I can't unresolve it now. I'm looking at the university challenge.
Okay, I'll ring you a bit later. Bye-bye. What have you forgotten?
I don't know.
Something of yours?
Well, me, feel like me sore?
No. Oh, no. Well, now, I don't know if it's yours or not, but I presume it's yours. Hanging from a fence post adjacent to where the trailer normally stands is a black satchel.
That's not mine.
It's not yours.
No, I thought it was yours.
No, it's not mine.
No.
Well, that's very mysterious.
It was there this morning when I got there.
See? Well, I must investigate it. How very odd.
Because I didn't think no more of it because I thought it was yours.
Oh. I wonder what it is. I hope it's not an IRA bomb.
Well, but there might be money in it.
I would doubt it very much. Anyway, I shall go and investigate it, so if you hear afterwards that I've been blown up, you'll know what it's all about.
That's
all. Well, yes. Let's hope it isn't anything like that. It's very mysterious. But who would hang a thing there? I mean, it's on my side of the fence, not on Mr...
Someone has been shopping, had it pinched.
That's also possible.
And they slung it over the wall.
But then how would it hang from the post like that?
They just threw it over and he got caught on it.
Conceivable. But that would mean that they would have trespassed on the ground next door in order to throw it... Well, that wouldn't be the first time that has happened.
They might have thrown it up in the air.
Yes, it's possible.
But why, it just got caught on there, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. Well, I will investigate it anyway. We'll see where we go from there. And I must just write this down. You would be able to come if wanted on Wednesday, is that?
At the moment, yeah.
Yes. Well, at the moment, I can't say yes or no. Anyway, I'll write it down as a possibility.
All right, then.
We'll confirm if anything is to be done.
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
I'll see you later. Ta-da.
Is Mechthild coming?
Well, I don't know yet. She said she'd let me know. She didn't want to come on the day when Martin left. It was too much of a hassle for me.
Well, now, Martin comes on Easter Monday the 1st.
The 1st.
When does he leave?
On the 5th, I think.
Just let me write that down.
I don't know. Write nothing down. I'm not sure.
No, I've put it down with a question mark. And then we don't know. So presumably, if he leaves on the 5th, I suppose that Mechthild would come on Sunday the 7th, perhaps?
No, she was going to come on the 5th, too. And I said that is too much of a hassle for me, so she said she'd let me know.
Yes.
I don't want to be rushed like that. I'm 90 years old. What nonsense. I want to...
I absolutely agree with you. You must have peace. That goes above everything. I shall say Mechthild may come. Question mark. Yes. Yes, I see. What a business. How is John Palmer's back?
I haven't seen him.
I haven't. No. Well, my back's been troubling me recently, well, as I think you know.
Yes.
Quite a little bit. Yes, yes. The Easter is nearly upon us, by God, because today we've got the 25th and is Monday, and the 29th is already Good Friday.
Yes, I know. And it'll take me 2 or 3 days to clean the room downstairs, my dear. Thanks to you.
Darling, I haven't left it any different from any other year, I promise you.
Shut up! You've left it in a disgusting, disgusting, deplorable state. Deplorable.
Darling, what I tell you just now is the truth. Left it as I have previously left it.
I'm not interested what you say. You don't know cleanliness from tidiness or cleanness. You don't know it. You are blind to anything clean or dirty. You are completely blind. And you have got ear clappers on and don't know anything.
I'm not saying for a minute that I left it tidy or clean. All I am saying is that I've not left it any dirtier than in previous years.
Yes, you left it dirtier and untidier as I have ever seen it before.
No. I assure you that isn't true.
I was shocked to the core, and I'm still shocked.
I'm terribly sorry. I'm very, very sorry. That's all I can say. But you know... Sadly, one has to say, one has to face facts. I am untidy, and that's all
you
there is to it.
You're not untidy, my dear. You did that on purpose.
Of course I didn't. How can you think such a horrible, horrible thing?
Yes,
it's an absolutely perverted thing to think. I wouldn't dream of doing it on purpose, I promise you.
In that room, and you are not going to be there anymore. I'm adamant about it.
Now, please,
come
please.
Once a month to visit me now. From now on, once a month.
Please just be reasonable and don't be so unkind and so harsh.
Yes, I don't care who, how are you to me? Do you pay any respect to my age or anything, or to my disability?
I greatly respect your disability and your age, and I think you're a wonderful soul and I love you dearly.
That is respect and love. I would like to know what is hate. What is hate, then?
Hate is something completely different, something evil and terrible. Of course I don't hate, I love you, but I am inherently untidy and I can't help
it. I can't have it anymore. It's finished. Our friendship is finished. If you are not tidy and keep the room clean, our friendship from today on is finished.
Darling, you mustn't allow little things like that to break down anything as valuable as our very dear and long friendship.
They are little things to you, they are not little to me. And everybody, I've shown David Kirk your room today, and he looked at it.
Yes.
And he didn't say a word and walked out.
Yes. Well, I'm very sad that you find it necessary to show things of mine to people who are my sworn enemies, purely unilaterally from their side.
Say
of course not. He is delighted. He's absolutely overjoyed. He's relishing it. And he's going to do his absolute maximum to develop a rift between you and I. Nothing would please him more.
Idiot.
I'm not an idiot. I'm facing fact.
You're an idiot because you don't listen to people. He did not say one word.
No, I'm sure not. In his silence lay the strength of his evil gain.
Will you listen?
Yes.
He did not say a word.
No.
He looked at it, and his face was very sad, and he walked out. That's all.
Yes.
Not one word, and I admire it very much.
Well, I'm so glad you admire it. Please don't forget what he has said to me in the past. You come between me and Mrs. Stubb.
Oh, dear.
Those were his words to me, and it was you who reminded me of it. You come between me and Mrs. Stubbs. And now he's overjoyed. He can reunite with you and push me out of the way.
Look, he's not overjoyed. He looked sad and crestfallen and walked out. He didn't say a word, and I admire that very much, very much.
Well, I'm so glad you admire it. I'm sorry I'm not capable of admiring him. I consider him a very mean and very unpleasant person.
Whatever you think, I don't care. He did not say a word. He didn't say that filthy swine, why do you keep him in the house? He didn't say anything. He just walked out.
Oh, that was very, very clever of him. It was the most cunning possible response. In order to gain, which he has done, your respect and admiration.
He has done, too.
Well, it's very, very cleverly done. He is a crafty fox.
Anyway, my dear, we come to an agreement when I see you next after Easter. We come to an agreement that we see each other once a month and all your stuff has to be out. And each time you come, you just bring the things you need for the next 2 days you stay. And you take them back home again. I don't want them downstairs in the room. I want that understood from now on.
Come, come. Please be kind. Please be reasonable. Please don't be brutal.
You be kind for change. You be kind.
Optic fiber cable, yes.
Yes, that's right.
It would have been the easiest thing in the world to get the cable connected first and then move the mast.
But they didn't. They did it the other way round.
They did it the wrong way round. Anyway, right, now... Last night was particularly bad. As I said, not a day passes, but that I have always at least one spurious ring, usually two, three, or four. Yesterday, it began at 20:35 hours, continued through 20:38 hours with numerous fairly normal spurious rings, but then at 22:40, there was a very exceptional and very serious outbreak of chronic spurious bell ringing, in that it was no longer just brum, brum, that sort of thing. Not at all. They pressed the bell, and they kept it pressed on several successive occasions, and on each of those occasions they kept it pressed for a duration of up to 3 minutes continuously. Now, I don't have normal bells here because of the topography of the place and the nature of the architecture. I have to have very powerful bells and many of them. So the house and the neighbourhood was filled with an ear-splitting noise for a succession of periods of up to 3 minutes each. And it was extremely unpleasant.
Yeah.
I reported it also, again I was too busy to report it earlier, I reported the whole lot together to the police in Windsor this morning under the same URN number 448.
What were you told by the police?
Oh, well, what do they ever say, you know?
I don't know, I've never had to report any.
I haven't. They weren't. You see, they're so overloaded, these poor police. I mean, one can't altogether blame them. One must, I suppose, blame the government. I don't know. The police are grossly overloaded. They can't cope with it all. They don't cope with it all. And they've given up trying long ago. To give you an example of what happened, I spoke to a chap called Wait a minute. Very nice fellow. Ben Waite, W-A-I-T-E, a civilian at Windsor Police Station. And I said, well, now, this thing is at least, in the case of the driving, at least it is harassment. It is potentially, it could have brought about death very easily. And it is completely unacceptable. And he said, it comes under the category of dangerous driving.
Okay.
But, well, thank you for that. I've written it down. So I wrote it down as the category, dangerous driving. He said, as it is dangerous driving, I cannot take the report from you over the telephone. Mm-hmm. You must come here to Windsor Police Station in person. I said, you evidently are not aware that you are speaking to a person of 76 years of age. Mm-hmm. It is not a simple matter for me to come to the police station in Windsor. There's every conceivable complication in the way of it. Mm. So this resulted in a very long telephone call. He left me holding on. He went off to talk to other people on more than one occasion for long periods. Eventually he came back, and he didn't say it in so many words, but it was implicit in what he said that, yes, I could report it to him over the telephone, which I did. Mm. And he didn't really say anything except that it was dangerous driving.
No.
Oh, the only other... Yes, he said one other thing. He said, in that I only had... Did I give you the registration letters of the car?
Yes, you did. The first three... Well, the
GJE.
Yes.
They were the latter part of the registration. He said, as you have only got those letters... We can't do anything about it. It's impossible to trace it. I said, now look, in the past, virtually all these incidents that have happened have had their origin in hooligans who are resident in Datchet. Mm. They know me very well by sight. I am, in effect, the red rag to them. And some of them live, according to the police, in what the police call, quote, the Datchet Hell Home. Have I mentioned this before? This is consisting of homely walks, consisting of homely road, and marsh fields. And the other half of the hooligans live in the very road where this incident took place, namely Ditton Road. So I said, it seems to me highly probable that that car probably lives there in Ratchet, and somebody will probably see it. And the GJE may be the necessary clue to get them with the smart appearance and the fancy red saloon car. So anyway, that persuaded him, and he took the report. But imagine what trouble they go to try and avoid getting in. I mean, I suppose this was just a tactic to discourage me from coming from reporting it. I don't know. Only a guess. Whatever it was, I overcame it, and he took the report. But of course, nothing can be done about it. They never have done anything about it, and I don't think they intend doing anything about it.
What would you like to see happen?
What I would like to see happen is for more charges and something put in front of the court of law and at least, well, the court to do whatever it can do. You see, the only, I'll tell you one single occasion where they got somewhere near doing something. This would have been about 5 years ago. It's all on the far end. I can pick up that the URL number aspect, I suppose. So, I think it was just about 5 years. It related to a series of incidents in which repeatedly projectiles had been discharged from catapults at my leaded glass, very old fashioned. This is a very old one, about over 280 years old. Leaded glass windows, you know what I mean? They're terribly expensive to repair. They're prohibitively expensive. I can't afford to have them repaired. Well, they were smashed. So what I had to do at great expense, my best expense in repairing jugs, was to have special perspex seals made to measure and screwed in position over the outside of the leaded glass to afford a slight degree of protection. Lo and behold, what happened? They then smashed the perspex seals. So the inspector said to me, would you please look inside the house and see if you could find whatever may have come in from the projecting apparatus. I said, what a good idea, Inspector Barnes, and I had a look. And lo and behold, I found something. It was a curious object, difficult to describe, because it doesn't fit into any normal category. It wasn't a bullet, although it resembled a bullet. It was made from lead, It looked as though it was handmade, possibly by pouring lead in somebody's kitchen into a mould as a container. It was rounded at one end, severely flattened at the other. Fortunately, I made a photo shadow graph of it on my photocopier, which I have on my file. I weighed it. My recollection is that it weighed 8 grams. I think that's correct. And then I did something very foolish. I agreed to the inspector's request to allow one of his people, I think it was W.P.C. Dimmock, I have her name on record anyway, if it's not so I can tell you what it is, to collect this thing for the police. I should never have done it. It's the most foolish thing I've ever done in my life, because it was the only proof of these attacks that I possessed. In the meantime, the police took it. They told me, the inspector told me, that they had arrested a young man whose name they refused to tell me. They admitted that he was a didi-coy. They released him again. They were going to bring a charge against him and put him in front of a court. They never did so. About 2 years later, after I'd repeatedly asked the police what had they done about it and got no answer that made any sense at all, about 2 years later, I had a visit from one of their, African policemen. His name I have on record. It begins with M, as in mother. I've forgotten his name, but it's all on record. I can dig it out for you. And I said, PC, whatever the name was, can you tell me what has happened and why nothing appears to happen about this proposed charge about the smashing of my window? Oh, he said, Captain Seddon, I can hardly bring myself to tell you. But the truth of the matter is that the Crown Prosecution Service cannot find the file, quote, unquote. This is the sort of level of competence we're dealing with. So the file has been lost, together, presumably, with the leaden projectile, of which, thank God, I have a photo shadow graph, so that we know its shape, its size, and its weight. But we don't have the article. And this is the sort of level of competence we have from the police and or from the Crown Prosecution Service. I cannot tell you where the fault lies. They are all, as far as I'm concerned, completely incompetent and utterly useless. And they've done nothing. And this situation goes on and on and on and on, as you see, to this present day. So, I mean, it's quite hopeless.
Yeah.
And added to that, we have the fact that I think I probably told you before that I'm virtually the only person here who dares persistently and insistently to report all these things to the police and some of the more interesting ones to the press. Everybody else says, ooh, no police car must be seen stopping in front of my house. I haven't said anything. I haven't telephoned the police for fear of reprisal. All reprisal fearers, you see. And I'm the only one who, with my Germanic doggedness, insist on reporting these things. Bring what it may in the way of reprisals. I mean, perhaps they'll burn the house down. If without my dogs, I think they would have done years ago. But I will not be silent under this oppression. And I think it is absolutely scandalous that the police, in effect, are complicit in all this matter. They connive in the matter being suppressed. I think it's a good thing.
1. The person you're calling is not available. Please leave a message after the tone.
In the event that that anonymous telephone answering service should happen to be the correct one for Peter, I would be grateful, Peter, if you'd please give me a ring when you return. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
I'm all right, but I'm very angry.
What about?
I went down to see the room, and I sat down and cried. You are not my friend. You are a fiend, my dear.
Sorry.
How you left it. You didn't even clear the table. You didn't do anything. You made it worse. And I'm disgusted. I really am disgusted. And I want to say goodbye now, my dear. Bye.
Darling, please. This is a good moment to come to the sense for the package.
Yes, okay.
Thank you. Can I speak to Mr. Pitcher, please?
Yes, I mean, would that be Roy or Tony?
Roy, please.
Hello, Caroline speaking.
Can I speak to Mr. Roy Pitcher, please?
Who's calling, please?
Seddon.
Hold the line, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Roy Pitcher, good morning.
Good morning, Seddon, Mr. Pitcher.
Captain, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And you? Good. Did you receive my letter?
I did. Thank you very much.
Fine.
Your time spent in sort of compiling that information for us. I appreciate it. It seems very tedious from your end, I'm sure.
I'm afraid it did, yes. Is the matter now in order?
I think so, that's right.
Oh, good. Now, what is being done? Have you remitted anything this month?
Just bear with me 1 second. The payments for now, they're in hand when they... Yeah. Right. So it's probably later this week, early next week. I'd expect it from later this week, early next week, Captain Seddon, if that's okay.
I see. Which method?
It'll be transferred directly to your bank, Captain Seddon. That's sort of the cheapest method.
Okay, whichever you think best. Okay, I wish you a happy Easter.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
O 1 6 2 8 6 O 5 6 4 3 call today at 13:40 hours to return the call. Thank you.
5643.
You called me a few minutes ago. Slough 542242.
Oh, you must be one of the TV blokes.
How did you hear of me?
Out of the Yellow Pages.
Oh, yes. Let me explain to you. Audiorama Limited, established 1958, 44 years ago, repairs exclusively obsolete, obscure, difficult, and museum-quality historic equipment, but not modern.
Not general day-to-day stuff?
No, no. What age is your equipment?
It's not all that old. It's only, 5 years old, something like that.
No, I'm very sorry, I can't help you with that.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever need the other variety, you know where to come to.
Yeah, so if I ever decide to get my R1155 sorted out, I know someone to come to now.
Exactly so. Yeah. Though I must explain to you that the work is very, very much more time-consuming, labour-intensive, and therefore very much more expensive than working on modern equipment.
Yeah.
Particularly as there is a zero availability, as you will appreciate,
yeah,
of original old parts.
Yeah.
Fortunately, having been here 44 years, you can imagine I have a... you could call it a cannibalisation stock of unprecedented size.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine that.
As a matter of interest, I'm 76. In general, it's the older people who have the old equipment. How old are you?
Well, I'm only 48.
Ah, but you take an interest in good old equipment.
Well, yeah, to a point. I'm a licensed radio amateur as well.
You are?
So... I'm not really active. In fact, I haven't been active since the divorce, but I do understand the older stuff is very difficult to maintain, and the people with skills like yourself are at a premium these days.
That's right, there are very few of us.
Yeah.
May I know your name?
Certainly, my name is Colin Jones.
Colin Jones, and where are you, in Slough?
Well, I'm actually in Taplow.
Oh, I see. Yes. Well, my name is Captain Maurice Seddon, S-E-D-D-O-N, Royal Signals, retired.
Yeah.
For my sins, I was formerly Assistant Chief Instructor Officer Training Wing of the School of Signals in the wilds of Catterick Camp in Yorkshire, long ago. And I settled in Datchet in 1958, and set up my tiny business. Funnily enough, not for very, very, very many years, but if we go back to 1940, let me see, I was commissioned with Lord Geoffrey Howe at Catterick in 1946, November. It would have been 1947-48 when I was serving in Germany, incidentally in my mother's country, because I'm a mongrel, I'm German, French, English, that I had two amateur wireless licenses, DL2OY, and I think the other was DL2NT, if I remember rightly. One was in my own name, and the other was the one I was responsible for. It was my signals unit's amateur wireless license. But of course, that's a very long time ago, and I haven't done any amateur wireless thing since. Indeed, when I did it, my interest was always in the equipment and not in the operating of it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But, of course, that's a long time ago. Anyway, national, yes. I had a national HRO once. I wonder if I've still got it. I don't know. I may or may not have it. We used to use ACR-88s a lot in that time.
I'm not familiar with that.
Well, it's a big American RCA set.
Yeah.
It's a shallow set. By shallow, I mean the width and the length are both much larger dimensions than is the height. So the height would have been perhaps 10 inches or a foot. And the width would probably have been, 2 feet or more. And the length from front to back would again have been about 2 feet. It was a very large thing. And the whole lid lifted, disclosing the innards. And it was full of miniature valves of the OZ4 size, you know what I mean?
Quite small, about the size of your thumb.
Yes, about that, a little bit. Yes, a little bit. Yes, about that size. Octal valve. KT... I'm trying to remember, what were they all? 6K7... Not G, but 6K7GT. 6K8... 6Q7, things like that.
Oh, that's much before my time. I got an idea of what you're on about. It's well before my time.
Yes, of course.
Do just on that score, do you ever get the ever see the RSGB publication Radcom?
I'm afraid I don't get any RSGB things these days. I still have somewhere, carefully kept, my RSGB amateur radio manuals of about the late 1940s. And I've also got the American manual, also one or two examples of that, which was called ARRL.
Yeah, the ARRL is still in use, well, it's still there, certainly in the States.
It is?
Yeah, you see the occasional publication for them advertised in Radcom.
Oh, really?
I get Radcom every month.
No, I'm afraid I don't have that at all. Somewhere, I've got a large stock, if they haven't been destroyed with the passage of time, of Wireless Worlds, pre-war, during the war, and post-war.
I used to get Wireless World and Practical Wireless as a kid.
Practical Wireless. I used to get that as a boy, I remember, and I still have a few examples lying around.
Built many a crystal set in my youth.
Barely.
Yeah.
Well, I did something very funny during the war. It was strictly prohibited, but I did it, and of course I learnt an enormous amount from it. I used to build little transceivers operating in the VHF band, using super-regenerative triode valves as the detectors, followed by two audio stages, and one of those valves, by altering the biasing conditions, became a power oscillator coupled directly into the aerial for transmitting. And, of course, they were incredibly primitive. They had little or no frequency stability, which, however, fitted in quite well with the super-regenerative receiver, which, in any case, was extremely unselective.
Yeah.
And, of course, that was not allowed in the war, but one did it nevertheless. And, of course, one learnt an enormous amount from doing it. Great fun. Well, it's very nice talking to you, and if ever I can help you or yours, you know where to come.
Yeah, it's just, I know a couple of guys who've got some older amateur equipment.
Yes.
That's how I come across the R1155, which I spent many a happy hour before I became licensed.
Yes.
Tuning around and putting up different length antennas and so on.
Sure. Well, it was very instructive. As far as I remember, wasn't it a set largely used by the RAF?
It was, yes.
Yes, I thought so. I wondered, have I still got one? I had one somewhere. I may or may not still have it. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
I've got so much stuff here, I'd rather lose contact with it. Did you ever meet the military transceiver, what was it called, number 38 wireless set?
Not familiar. I may have done around, but I'm not familiar with the number.
I think I've still got one or two of those around somewhere. And I have possibly even got a pre-war or wartime signal generator somewhere.
Oh, the old signal generator, a very handy piece of kit.
Yes, and I've got a number of signal generators and test oscillators of the 40s and 50s and 60s.
I'm surprised that you don't get any business through the RSGB.
Well, you see, at 76, one isn't looking for business. I'm three quarters retired.
Yeah.
I still nominally have my little business, and just occasionally something comes in to be restored. But it's more a hobby to keep an old man healthy in mind and body than it is a money... In fact, it's definitely not a money-bringing operation. It's a money-losing operation.
Yeah.
But it's fun and it's interesting.
Interested.
It's nice to keep contact. Oh, by the way, I also have the Museum of Ancient Wireless here, which is very dusty, very dirty, very messy, and gets an occasional visitor. I only have serious visitors. I won't have... frivolous people coming here.
Yeah.
You know, and no busloads or anything of that sort. But it's listed by the tourist authorities, and periodically people come here from the United States and from Australia and places like that.
great fun. I'm glad I looked through the book now. It was just, really, I'm looking for a component.
What component is it?
It's just for my TV that... It would not really concern you. It's a little NICAD which is used to keep the memory cell alive.
I don't think I'd have that, no. It's no. Probably a special miniature battery, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a little wire tag for soldering straight onto the board.
How many volts is it?
It's 1.2, single cell NICAD.
Well, I've probably got some 1.2 volt NICAD cells, very probably, which you might be able to improvise, but they would be much bigger than what I would imagine your computer cell would be.
Yeah, this is, I've done it in I've measured it in metric because that's what everybody wants these days. Just a minute, I've written it down here and stuck it in my pocket now. There we go. It's 17 mil by 15 mil, which equates to...
So leave it even millimetres, I prefer the millimetres. You see, I'm half German-French, you mustn't forget.
Oh,
those inches, they confuse me.
Yeah.
17 by 15, or if we put that in inches, 15 is about 3/5 of an inch or thereabouts. Yes, 15 millimetres, yes, that's come off. Front seat's in. I don't have... is it cylindrical or what is it? Ones I've got are probably about 30 millimetres long, 40 millimetres, that sort of thing.
Yeah. That sort of stuff is quite readily available.
Of course. But this other thing you're talking about is probably very specialised.
Yeah.
What make of computer or whatever is it?
It's a Luxor TV.
Luxor. Luxor. Isn't that Scandinavian?
Yes, maybe Sweden. Yes,
not me. Yes, I thought it was. There might be some Luxor agent somewhere. I don't know who it was. Or equally, if you were to get onto some manufacturer of batteries, such as Everready, which now calls itself something else.
Berick.
Yeah, does it Berick, something like that. Or possibly, what is that French company? There's one called SAFT. Isn't that a French one?
No.
I have an idea that there's an SAFT depot, I think, in Hampton. I might be mistaken. You could try the telephone. S for sugar, like S for sugar, A, Apple, F, Freddy, T, Thomas, S-A-F-T, which I think you'll find is a French manufacturer of rechargeable batteries, rechargeable cells. Equally, what are the English ones called? Now I can't remember.
Oh, dear, didn't have enough time to stand looking through all the catalogues. I had a quick look and I couldn't see what I was looking for, but I'm planning on going back there. But I thought...
Go and ask a human being, don't look in the catalogue, ask somebody who knows the stock.
Unfortunately, they're all 16-year-old experts in there.
I do leave a got mama. They will never tell you a thing.
No.
That's useless.
You get greeted with these blank stares, basically.
I can imagine.
If you have computers or flashing lights, they've had it.
I see, yes. No, I'm afraid I've run out of ideas.
No, I'll locate one. I mean, you know, it's quite a common part. It's, as you know, NiCads only have a limited lifespan.
Yes.
And this TV is fine as long as you leave it switched on or in the standby mode. But if you leave it switched off overnight, the NiCad no longer stores enough to keep the memory alive. So when you switch it on, you have to reprogram the channel selection.
It just might be possible that if you put a 1.5-volt Le Clancher dry cell in, it might just do the job, mightn't it?
It may well do, yeah.
Although, of course, that wouldn't accept any recharging.
No. And the circuit is designed to keep the NiCad recharged as well.
Yes, I would have thought so.
Yeah, there is actually a little charging circuit, and it's very, very simple. Of course.
You must forgive me. Somebody's waiting for me.
Okay.
Very nice to talk
very
to you.
Nice
all the best.
You.
If I can help you any time, you know where to come.
Yes, thank you very much.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
And you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yet?
Oh, right. I'm at Bledlow.
You're at Bledlow?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Well, do you have one at Bledlow?
No, because the fridges have just gone this morning. They went yesterday. I told you that they go Saturdays.
Sunday morning?
Oh, yes. What a pity you didn't telephone me when you had one. Never mind, can't be helped.
No, there wasn't one there, see?
There wasn't, no, I see. When are you next going to be at Langley?
Tomorrow.
Is there anyone at Langley now whose telephone number you could give me so that I could ring to find out if they've got one there?
Yeah.
Could you be kind enough to give me that number?
You'll have to cut off and ring me back again.
Right, when shall I ring you back?
Got it? No, because, no, the only number I got is Danny's.
Oh, I see, and he's in hospital, isn't he?
Right.
I see, and there's nobody else there at Langley now whose telephone number you know?
No.
I see, and you'll be there which day again?
Tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Well, do keep your eye out for a fridge freezer and let me know if you've got one.
Okay.
All the best to you.
All right,
bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ben Datchett, how are you? Very well, thank you. A long shot. I need two inexpensive but functional chest freezers. Do you know anybody who's got any? Appearance is of no importance at all, as long as they work properly.
I don't, off the top of my head, but if you leave it with me, I'll make some inquiries.
Okay, I could even do with three, but certainly two. Shall I give you my number again? Same code as you.
Yep.
54.
Yep.
22.
Yep.
42. And I'm talking now about medium to large chest freezers, preferably not the very small ones, though, I mean, two very little ones would be better than nothing in lieu of one bigger one.
Well, I know a couple of people that do sort of second-hand ones, so I'll have a word with them and see if they've got anything.
Okay, that's very kind. I need them rather urgently, so if you could ring me as soon as possible, or they could, I'd be grateful.
Not a problem.
All the best.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're sorry for any inconvenience.
The business that formerly belonged to Mr. Shaler that sells second-hand freezers?
Yes.
Oh, what's it called now?
The same thing, JD's.
Oh, I see. And who is the proprietor now?
Mr. Sharp.
Mr. Sharp. Is he there? Oh, I see. Could I speak to whoever deputizes for him?
Well, there's only me here at the moment.
Oh, I see. Right. My name is Captain Seddon, S-E-D-D-O-N. I'm an old age pensioner. I'm an old client of Mr. Shaler, that was.
Right.
And I'm looking for one, two, or even three medium to large size second-hand freezers, of which the appearance is of no account at all, because they're going to be used, believe it or not, out of doors. What does matter is that they work. Have you got any?
None at all.
None at all. What is the problem at the moment with freezers?
The problem is that the refrigeration now can't be fixed. They've done a government ruling that we're not allowed to take old fridges away from people's houses, which means we don't have any to fix.
What a ridiculous situation.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's absolutely crazy.
Sounds absolute lunacy to me.
It is. I quite agree. But
are you trying to do something about it?
We're trying to, but we haven't got any freezers at all at the moment. You know, from a long time ago, we had used to have lots and lots of freezers and lots of fridges, but not at the moment.
Extraordinary. May I ask who I'm speaking to?
Sandra.
Sandra what?
Sharp.
Oh, yeah, you're his wife?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Well, best wishes to you. I hope you manage to obtain supplies by whatever means may be possible, and that the government reverse their ridiculous arrangement.
Yes.
Well,
I would say about, 4 foot would be a medium.
Four cubic feet or 4 feet length?
High.
3 feet high?
Yeah. Is it chest freezes you're after?
Chest freezes.
Oh, they're even more difficult.
Really?
Yeah, they're even more difficult.
Why is that, I wonder?
Well, there's some kind of thing about the gases inside now.
My God.
You wrap a fridge, but it has to be the gas. And by law, you're not allowed to take the gas out, so you have to take it to a special place which charges £30 a fridge. This is why everyone, I don't know, have you noticed fridges all over the place now, or you haven't?
To a certain extent, yes.
Yeah, well, I would say that in the next month or two, they should be everywhere, because people like us are too cautious to take them away, because if we take them away, we've got no means of getting rid of them, but only by paying £30 per fridge.
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Well, if you've got one that works, you know you can get rid of it to me.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Thelma.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Welcome to BT Callminder. The person you've called is not available at the moment. Please leave a message after the tone.
If that should be the second-hand freezer and fridge shop, would you please ring 01753 542242, as I'm seeking to buy one and I will give you the detail. Thank you. The name's Seddon, S-E-D-D-O-N. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Are you the second-hand city Bracknell?
Bracknell, yes we are.
You are. My name is Seddon. I'm an old-age pensioner, Captain Seddon. I live in Datchet. I'm looking for a couple of chest freezers in which I'm not in the slightest concerned what they look like, how battered they may appear or how rusty, because they're going to be used out of doors. But they must be in working order. Have you got any?
With our appliances, unfortunately, they're all fully factory reconditioned, serviced. They all come with 6-month guarantee, so I haven't got any old ones that are just, you know, the cheapest I've got at the moment is £99.
How many?
99.
Yes, it's a lot of money for an old age pensioner. And what size is it?
That's 3 foot.
Three feet or 3 cubic feet?
3 foot wide by 33.5 inches high. So I haven't got any old ones. I don't do them like that. All ours come direct from a factory, you see. They're all factory reconditioned units.
Yes. Do you deliver? Could if I were to order one, would you be able to deliver to Datchet?
I would, but it'd be £15 delivery charge.
15 delivery. Well, I might then collect it myself. And you've got nothing cheaper. Are you likely to get anything cheaper?
If you ring me Thursday, I'm expecting another delivery from the factory. Now, I don't know what they're going to have in stock ready for me until they get here. Until Thursday morning. So if you ring me, if you would like to ring me about 11, 12 o'clock Thursday, I'd know exactly what's coming in then.
Could I ask you if you could ring me? Because I may be out then. And in the worst case, could you tell my answering machine?
Right, what's your phone number?
01753. Which is the Slough code.
Yes.
542242.
Right.
Could you please read it back?
5422. What was the
542242.
542242.
That's right, with the Slough code, and it's in Datchet, and the name is Captain Seddon. Seddon.
Captain Seddon.
Seddon, correct. S for sugar. E.
You're in Datchet.
That's right. Correct. Now, supposing you get some in, I mean, what sort of price might they be?
Well, that's why I have to ring you Thursday to see if I'll get the cheaper ones in. I can't guarantee that. I won't know until the first.
No, of course you can't guarantee. But what sort of thing is likely to happen?
I can't tell you until, because I won't know what they've got ready for us until Thursday morning, sir.
Oh, no, I see. May I know your name?
I'll let you know one way or another.
Yes, may I know your name?
My name's Howard, Captain.
Mr. Howard.
My name's just Howard.
Howard. Okay. Well, let me know, would you?
I'll ring you Thursday, Captain.
Thank you so much.
Okay, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.